This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quinton Demps with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back with the Q-Damp Show here on ESPN 97.5. And if you have questions for Quinton, who is out here with us at Saltgrass in Pearland, we're ready. You can text them to me at 713-780-3776.
Mic check.
You're good.
1-1-2.
The man is in the building.
What's going on, man?
What's up, big guy?
Rocking and rolling. We've decided that Fred tried to look at it negatively. He was like, this is the second time that Quinton's coming in off of a loss.
Really?
And he was like trying to act like it was our fault. And I said, look at it the other way. The first time you came in here was
Bears
before the Chiefs game, which you won.
Bears game.
The second time was after the Patriots game, which
you
then
lost.
You guys beat the Titans,
okay,
the next
I
game.
I got you.
Now you're coming in off this loss. That means that
the Colts
should be automatic.
No superstition.
You don't believe in that,
no,
huh?
I don't believe in that.
You don't believe in that nonsense.
We gotta get our SHIT together, man.
Yeah, what's going on with you? First of all, let me ask you, how's your health? You leave that game in a game where
they needed
a lot
quarter.
Of bodies out there on that secondary. We needed you out there. What happened?
Yeah, it was tough, man. I ended up straining my calf muscle in the first quarter of the game. Wasn't able to go back. Which sucks, but
what's is it just treatment and are you planning on playing this
yeah,
week?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
So
yeah.
Right now you are officially questionable or doubtful for the game?
Questionable.
Questionable. Yeah. All right. That's what the coaches have told you?
And OB's voice, questionable.
Questionable. All right.
Don't ask me about that again.
Well, I'm guessing at OB's voice, they've got a coach.
That was OB's
better,
voice too. That was
better.
OB's voice too.
The game obviously didn't go the way you guys planned.
Yeah.
And, just right off the bat, it seems like everything they tried worked on offense, and it's 14-0 against that defense. That's just a tough thing to ask to do to come back against those guys.
What somebody told me today? They texted me and said, Minnesota is 5-0 without AP and Teddy Bridgewater.
Not only that.
And they Khalil.
They didn't have Khalil either. Ryan Khalil, their all-pro left tackle.
Mm.
They didn't have Sharif Floyd, who's their best interior lineman, defensive lineman,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have Stephon Diggs, their number one receiver.
They didn't have Diggs.
Yeah, that's for them to be doing what they're doing without those guys
players.
Is pretty impressive.
You guys
didn't get beat by some scrub squad.
Right, so we have to give them credit is what I'm trying to say.
No doubt.
You have to give them credit about who they are as a team, how they prepared, and how they came out and played Sunday. You got to give them credit.
I'm going to ask you a tough question here.
I'm going to give you a tough answer.
Brock Osweiler promised he was going to cut out this interception crap. He said that's not him.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then he broke that promise on Sunday.
He didn't throw a pick. Oh, he did.
He did.
Sudejo picked him off Sunday.
He did throw one.
Mm.
Is Brock – and right now, if you look at the – I think there's 31 QBs that have had enough attempts to qualify for QB rating. He is – I think he's 29th out of 31. I mean, it is not going well for Brock Osweiler, and that's a guy who got a big, fat paycheck to come here and be a franchise quarterback.
Right.
Is this an instance where you think it's the pressure is sort of built onto this guy with the expectations, or is this something that it's just going to take him a while to learn this system and get going here?
That's a tough question.
I told you. I warned you in advance.
But I know, just being around Brock, that he is his biggest critic. For sure. And I know he's looking at himself in the mirror just like I am, just like the whole team is, and we all got to come out and take some of the pressure off Brock's shoulder. We can't put everything on Brock, especially defensively. We didn't play well either. We gave up 150 yards to one receiver.
And Sam Bradford was beating.
Yeah,
Sam Bradford sucks, and he was getting y'all.
Yeah, so in spite of what Brock does, we have to come out and play good football, man, on both. We gave up a punt touchdown. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't. That's not good football, So we can't sit up here and, blame Brock. We got to play better.
Let me ask you. We talked about this early. They have a linebacker kicking off. I assumed it was so they could have an extra tackler on the field. Did you guys talk about that before?
Yeah,
is that why
they
were doing that?
I think that's what it was because Cordell Patterson, such a dynamic return.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
They didn't want to take any extra chances.
That was a game plan thing that I think Izzo came up with, and I thought it was pretty smart at the beginning. He ended up hurting himself, but I think it was a good idea. I mean, it kicked pretty well to me. It was a good kick, you know. So
I wouldn't have known it wasn't a kicker if they hadn't said something.
Right, So
other than he was really big.
last time we talked, you said that good teams don't lose back-to-back games.
Right.
And you guys did not lose to the Titans. Didn't play great against the Titans, but you didn't lose.
We didn't lose. That's all that matters.
Next game is the Colts.
The Colts.
This
division
is
game.
A lot of Texans fans think this is the most important rivalry game that the Texans play. Mm-hmm. 23-5. That's the Colts versus Texans record. This has been historically a tough matchup.
Yeah.
For the Texans, do you still stand by that? Good teams don't lose two games in a row.
I still stand by that.
And, okay.
You know, not that you. Yeah. I believe that. I believe like if you plan to go deep into the playoffs, you can't. You don't. You know, that's your mindset. You don't lose two in a row. You know, you don't lose that second one at home, especially. And so I know, man, what kind of team we have, what kind of coaches we have, that we're going to come out, man. We're going to play good football. We're definitely going to be better than we were last week. And, you know, we're going to see how it goes.
When what kind of challenge is it facing a guy like Andrew Luck? And especially, you know, you're going to have a busy afternoon back there because they like to throw it around, T.Y. Yeah. Hilton. What's it like facing a quarterback like that?
You know, facing a guy like Luck, man, is very, very challenging, like you said, because he's a dual threat, you know, low key. Like he can run too now, so we got to prepare for that as well. That's his passing. You know, he passes the ball well, he makes good checks, and so he's a good overall quarterback. You know, and it's going to be tough. Good matchup for us.
A lot of people don't remember Andrew Luck had the same 40 time at the combine that Cam Newton did.
He can run now.
That guy can move a little bit.
Yeah, and he makes good decisions a lot of times.
Hey, just one more thing on the last game, and I noticed you out there late when you could, but still flying around making plays. How hard is it when you look up at that scoreboard and you know it's really unlikely you're coming back?
Yeah.
But that's one thing I give you guys credit for, especially on defense. You're all still flying around out there. Yeah. How hard is that to do?
You know, it's tough. It's tough to do. But at some point when you know that the game may be over, it's all about showing my teammates and showing the league how I fight when I'm down. You know, so that's one of the things that we talked about is, like, if we're going to go down, we're going to go out fighting, you know, and especially on defense. So that's our mindset.
Is it frustrating as a defender when things aren't going well defensively and then you get hurt and there's nothing else you can do about it? You're on the sideline watching and, you know, Joseph, he got hurt too. And
yeah.
He had to watch Charles James go out there and kind of flail in the wind a little bit. He had a rough day after J.J. left.
Yeah.
Is it difficult to stand on the sidelines, not being able to help out?
Yeah, it's very frustrating, man. It can definitely be frustrating, especially for me, you know, just being a leader back there and knowing that I could bring a presence to it, bring energy to my team. And so, you know, hopefully make a play. You know, it's definitely frustrating, of course.
Were you surprised that it seemed like their initial game plan was to go right at Jonathan Joseph? Were you surprised to see that?
Is that I don't know. I was surprised to see them come out and pass early like that. I thought they would stick to the run a little bit earlier than what they did. But they came out and threw the ball, you know, early at us. And, you know, sure enough, hit us a couple times. And so, yeah, I was surprised at that for sure.
Teams have been effective running the ball against you guys. And what
were they effective?
Yeah.
What they have?
Well,
minus the late game, I might as well run it. Yards. What do they have? Let's see.
I have it right here in front of me. They rushed 96 yards.
Oh, that's too much. That's too much.
And really, the second half, can we just pretend the second half doesn't matter because everything that happened there, when it's 24-0 against those guys,
it's
you're
like,
not
yeah. Back. Yeah. So, but yeah, but we know that. We know we got to stop the run in this league for sure to be effective, you know. We didn't do that Sunday.
You know, we talked at the beginning about Brock and you taking some of the pressure off of him. And I said at the beginning of the show, I feel like this team is built around defense, and defensive football teams typically run the football. And when the defense got down yesterday 14-0, it basically put the offense in a situation where running the football wasn't an option.
Yeah, you got to pass, for sure.
Is that what you mean when you say, you know, taking pressure off of him? Like, is letting your team get out in front, because it seems like this team is not really – offensively is not really built to play from behind.
Well, what I mean is, like, we just got to play better. We got to put them in better positions. You know, we definitely can't look at him when it's 14-0, like, hey, man, come save us, you know, is what I'm saying. Like, you know, we got to hold them to field goals for sure when they get in the red zone. And, you know, just respond better, man, to adverse situations.
Your coach always talks about complementary football and how all those things kind of play together.
Yeah, that's huge.
And that's it seems like looking at them, they did exactly to you what you were trying to do to them.
they
get a big play in the special on special teams. They you know, they score quickly. Defensively they were is that kind of what you guys are trying to do on a week in, week out basis is sort of what we saw out of them?
That is. I mean that's well said, man. That's exactly what we're trying to do. You know, they played a complete football game. Special teams, defense and offensively. They played a very good game. You know, they came out, like you said, man, three and out, you know, offense go score, you know. Get a three and out, then punt. You know, they score a touchdown on punt. So, man, they did a good job of playing, you know, good football, man.
How much can you as a group and on your side of the ball, how much better can you guys be? Obviously, you're missing a pretty big piece, but he's not coming back, so there's, you know, you're going to have to play with what you got. But last year you guys improved as the season went on. Can the same thing happen this year, and how much?
Yeah, I believe so, man. I think we can be good, man. I think it's too early in the year to get your, you know, get your doubt up. You know, it's so early, man. I think we definitely got beat. Definitely didn't play well. But like you said, man, we can bounce back just like kind of like last year. We got smashed against Miami, smashed against Atlanta. You know, we got to regroup, man. We got to stay together. No pointing fingers. And come back, man, and look at yourself in the mirror and, you know, get better each and every week.
I'm curious how you guys felt after the Tennessee game.
Yeah.
Because it felt like that was going to be sort of a get-right game for you guys after the Patriots game. You see Tennessee on the schedule, nobody thinks much of them. Yeah. And that game ended up being a lot closer at the end than most people expected. And you guys did not really play well. You had an interception, but the team itself did not really play as well as a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
Is it almost as frustrating to get a win where you still feel like it's not things aren't working the way they're supposed to work? Is that almost as frustrating as losing to a good team?
No, not really, because you know just the W, you know, kind of supersedes everything.
Right,
like it's almost like you know, let's correct those things that we didn't do well, and we still won, but we can play better. But I think, man, like we got to find a way to win on the road. You know, that's been you know, especially early right now, we got to find a way to win on the road. And come out with the same energy that we do when we're at home. And, you know, hopefully Sunday's going to be, you know, exciting. The crowd's going to be there for us, you know, I believe so. And it's going to be a good game.
What was the noise like in that stadium? Pretty loud?
Yeah, it was loud, man. It was loud. You know, so it was an away game. It was
I mean, the road games that you guys have played at New England, at Minnesota, those are
very hostile.
Tough places to play against good teams. I mean, and for young quarterbacks especially, going on the road is pretty difficult. Do you think that's part, like, maybe it's not just we're not playing well on the road. Maybe we just played two really, really good teams on the road in two really tough buildings.
I guess you could say both. You could say both. I think, you know, but, you know, you got to find a way to win in this league on the road, period. Like, no matter what. You know, it's going to be hostile everywhere. Everywhere you go, it's going to be hostile. It's going to be loud. And so,
except Jacksonville.
No, it'd be loud.
There's like 80
it'd
people.
It'd be hot.
It'd be like 80 people there.
No,
it's going to be 82 because I'm going this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 82?
Yeah.
He'll be there wearing Texans gear. It doesn't count.
No, but we just got to find a way to win on the road, man. We got to find a way to have the energy that we do at home on the road.
All right. We got to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about the Colts and the path ahead for you guys. But right now, your buddy Aubrey is on.
Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. What's going on, Aubrey?
Hey, guys. Beautiful afternoon. Licking our wound a little bit, but at least we got great weather. And
that's right.
Sometimes when that weather changes, you know, the first time last night, I had to actually grab a hold of the nasal spray because I've been working out in houses and doing air ducts and things like that, and I've started having little allergies. So, friends, when you think about your soft fabrics, carpet, upholstery, drape, tapestry, wool rug, when you pull the curtains open, you start seeing all that dust gather, think maybe it's time to maintain. And dial 281-DIRT-FREE or go to dirtfreecarpets.com. We have a great special 3 rooms for $120. We can give you only the first 10 callers. We'll give you free Renaissance tickets and a $100 free speed drive on a $120 3 room carpet cleaning job, 281-DIRT-FREE. You got about $160 in freebies, $170. You dial 281-DIRT-FREE. Go to dirtfreecarpet.com and think about maintaining. We're the team to do it with no soaps, chemical residues, and tap water. We'll test the worst area. If you don't love us, you will not pay. 281-DIRT-FREE, guys, dirtfreecarpet.com. You've seen it work yourself. And when it does all that amazing, you know, productivity without chemicals, it's just shocking.
All right, that's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
ESPN 97.5. A RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quinton Demps with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back.
Back in the building.
Q-Damp Show here at Saltgrass, which is the best place for steaks, hands down. All steaks cooked with Saltgrass 7 steak spice and topped with garlic butter. Top sirloins, ribeyes, cowboy steaks, fillets, porterhouse, T-bones, and more. Saltgrass is Texas-born and bred, so you can find them everywhere. 60 locations and growing. We're at the one in Pearland, and that pumpkin cheesecake was just sick.
Sick, yeah, good. It's good, man.
Golly. The chicken sandwich is really good, too.
I'm so going to have to spend an hour in the gym when I get
home. How was your steak, man? Was the steak pretty good? It was bomb.
Yeah.
Did you cut up the rest of that for your wife?
Oh, this guy.
So not only do you save her half your steak, you cut her steak up for her.
Yeah, man.
Oh, see, I just goodness. Thought that was a Canadian thing. My wife cuts her steak into little pieces. I've never seen anybody do that. I just like cut a piece and
eat
it.
Looks like right? You're trying to make a taco out of it.
It's very strange.
I like to cut my steak. Like I like the piece of steak I'm about to eat to be the biggest it can be where I can manage to chew it. Because then it makes me feel like a wild animal or something. I like that.
I
like my steak to be damn near completely raw.
Really?
And I like to put a big chunk in my mouth because then it makes me feel like a savage. I like that.
I like mine medium well plus.
Medium well plus?
You ever heard that?
No, you're burning that thing.
Medium well plus.
What are you putting, slight, A1 on it too?
Like slight pink. Depending on where I go, I might.
Depending on where I go, I might
put A1.
But nobody chops theirs into little pieces, right? You eat it a piece at a time, right? That's the American way. Okay, I'm just checking. So you guys have played two pretty good teams now on the road with the Vikings and the Patriots.
Right.
Well, I guess it's not really a fair question because the Patriots were without Brady. How good are those two teams, man? I mean, are those legitimate Super Bowl contenders in your mind?
So you're talking about an AFC team that's always on top.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a Vikings team that lost to the Seattle Seahawks last year. What, second round?
Missed field goal.
They had
that game.
We're the better team on that day.
Yeah. Right. So looking at it like that, those are two teams that could possibly be in the Super Bowl for sure.
Well, let's look ahead a little
Pages
bit.
Pages are always one of those teams.
Always. Fortunately, or unfortunately, at least you've had an up-close and personal view of those teams. So.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what's coming ahead because the Colts are coming in, obviously, division game, and big game for you guys because, you know, again, chance for a bounce-back win. You got a pretty tough – I know you aren't looking ahead, but you got a pretty tough task the week after. So a victory is pretty important.
You guys didn't catch a break on the schedule with these road games.
Yeah.
At New England, at Minnesota, at Denver,
that's
the first three.
We need that.
All right.
We need that.
So what's it going to take to beat the Colts?
It's going to take all three phases, man, playing Houston Texans football. I think, man, we have really good coaches, really good players. It's about, man, really just putting it all together for four quarters consistently, I believe so. And I think we got to come out, man, with energy, focus and concentration, man, and come out and play good football for sure.
When you have a game like last week, defensively, do you guys shorten the playbook a little bit? Do you change things, or you just say, all right, it's another week, we're going to keep everything we got, we're just going to have a different game plan for the Colts this time?
You can't change much on defense, man. Everybody knows defense is pretty much the same, man. You're going to run cover one, cover four. You know, it's the same thing. Like it's just about, man, executing the call, you know, at the proper time. And taking advantage of the opportunities when they come, like, you know, catching the picks. You know, I think if Simon caught that pick and he scores, it's a whole new ballgame. That brings us life, brings us energy, you know. So it's about really just, you know, capitalizing on your opportunities when they come. You know, I think, for defensive guys, that's how we think. Like, you know, we can't really change too much. We are who we are.
Fred and I talked about this guy in the very first segment, and, you know, I thought that he's – I think Jadeveon Clowney has been very good this season. He's had some really good moments. I think he's leading the league in tackles for loss.
He has been very good.
But then Fred brought up yesterday a couple key penalties, like at bad times. Is that just part of being a young player and him not having the reps that most three-year guys in the league have?
We can't say that. I mean, you know, just granted, the big picture is the penalties came in the first quarter. Okay, like – hey, look, we want you to be aggressive. You know, it's going to happen. It's part of football. I'd rather you get a penalty in the first quarter than the fourth quarter when it's crunch time. So, you know, but granted, man, you can't have those, you know, playing on the road. You can't do it. And so, but like you said, man, he's playing good football, and we encourage him, and we want him to be the guy who he's been this year. You know, he's focused, he's locked in, I can see it in his eyes, and so, you know, we applaud that.
Another guy that I thought had a pretty good game, considering how much you guys were on the field on defense yesterday, was Christian Covington. And
Cuff played well.
He's an interesting case because very talented guy in college, and then had the knee injury and played quite a bit for you guys last year. But it looks like he's picked his game up a little bit this year from last year.
Yeah, I think, man, he's coming along. What's the second year?
Yeah,
I think, man, he's coming. You know, the game's slowing down a little bit for him. You know, he has Big Vince talking to him every day. You know, they're together all the time in meetings, and so, you know, he's learning, he's getting better, and he's taking great coaching, man, from Weaver.
And the pass rush is that's at least been there. Whitney Mercilus has been really good again.
Yeah.
Even without JJ, I mean, do you guys at this point, do you think this defense can still be a top five defense with the guys you got?
Yeah, no question, man. I mean, you know, you're talking to a safety, so yeah, of course I believe. You know, I think we all believe too. I'm not going to let you know, two road losses, you know, dictate who we are this whole season. I think you know, we got to play better. I think we all know that, and it's early, man, and so we got to regroup, man, you know, and come back and you know, find our swag and get it back.
But the one thing I said I wanted to see out of you guys was, and I mean, I said we'd set all on tough place to play, really good team. Just wanted to see a, you know, competitive game. Go in there and be competitive. Mm-hmm. What did they do those first two drives that caught y'all off guard? Besides just throwing the ball more, because every play they seemed to have something that was you perfectly designed.
Be honest with you. They didn't have a third down
for,
I think, maybe three series. You know, and in this league, man, if you don't have a third down, you know, that's good for your offense, bad for your defense. And so, man, we got to be better at the get back on track downs, the second and eights. You know, we can't let them complete those, you know, or get those first downs. We got to get them in third down in that situation. And so we didn't do a good job of that, for sure.
Well, it's funny, too, because games can get out of hand so quickly like that. And you mentioned if Simon gets that pick, suddenly
things change.
If you make a
pick six,
make a tackle on a punt return, you know, that turned the game the other way.
And, yeah, it's four quarters every week, you know. And like I said, man, we're going to fight to the end. And we just got to make plays when they come to us.
This Colts team coming in, T.Y. Hilton, you know, Dwayne Allen, I'm guessing you'll probably see a little time on, assuming you're good to go. Talk about that receiving group a little bit, because they're kind of hit and miss, but they've got some fast dudes, man, that can get open and a big target in a guy like Allen.
Yeah, I think T.Y. leads the group, of course. I think Phillip Dorsett's coming on pretty well, right?
They can move.
Second-year guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's coming on pretty well, too. And like you said, Dwayne Allen. And they have Frank Gore, too.
Frank Gore's running well, too,
you know, for an older guy. And, you know, I mean, we know these guys, though. We play them twice a year, you know, for the last, you know, decade or so. So, you know, it's going to be a dogfight, you know, just like Tennessee was. It's a division game, man. You can never count those out, or, you know, you can't count on one team. You got to come out and concentrate and play good football.
Considering the way the Colts are built, and we just mentioned a bunch of good skill players that they have, and they've got a great quarterback, one of the places that they're not good is the offensive line.
Okay.
Is that – so when you guys are in your defensive meetings this week, is it – you know, is there going to be a lot of, you know, I guess discussion on your front seven? We've got to create pressure because there's dangerous guys back there. You guys have to win up on the front.
Yes, you know, that's every week in this league, man. That's how you win, man. I think the games are won or lost with the front seven. You know, the O-line and the D-line, they make the game. Andy Reid taught me that. You know, that's what a game is won or lost, you know, with those guys.
You have a clock in your head where it's like it gets to a certain amount of seconds and you're like, this isn't good that this play is still going on.
Yeah, like especially when I'm man-to-man coverage.
Yeah.
I know if I'm covering this guy so long, the ball, oh, my God, the ball is still live. It's a live ball.
Yeah.
You know, it can come this way for sure.
And that means that there's probably a quarterback either sitting back there in a clean pocket or
he's got out of the pocket.
Or the ball's flying over your head.
Flying over my head, yeah.
Yeah. So, what's the time like for you? Like, how many counts is it?
It's not long, but our rush. You know, with our rush, is not long. But I do have that clock that's like, oh, wow. He's still running fast. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's not long, though. I think, But it's also on the other side too. Like, I know that if I cover them for that, you know, for that little bit, that we're gonna get there. Somebody's gonna get there.
Yeah.
You know, Whitney, Clowney, you know, Simon or whatever.
All right, we're gonna take a very quick break. We got a lot more to go.
A lot more to go, baby.
The Q Dep Show here on ESPN 97.5.
Will it come to pass? Or will I pass the test?
ESPN 97.5. Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quentin Demps with Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back. Q-Damp Show here on ESPN 97.5. And yeah, it's kind of weird. It's hard to judge a game like Sunday's when you put it in that context of they've had two road games and they're both against really good teams. Mentioned 4-4 last year. We were talking about that off air a little bit, but I mean that's where you guys got to make your reputation, and obviously
on the road, right?
Not worrying about this week. I mean, you got to worry about this week, but you know, what's it going to take to change things up, go in and win something like that?
It's going to take 60 minutes of Texan football, I believe. Energy, man. Energy, passion, and just hunger, I think. You know, and I say those things in the Bengals game come to mind from last year, man. We came out, you know, it was us against the world. Nobody had us winning that game. They were 8-0. You know, we came out with a crazy focus. I was telling you guys, man, it was like we were just locked in like crazy. So we got to find a way to have that. Every time we go on the road, you know, we got to have that energy, that focus, and that concentration that every week we go on the road.
You always talk about you just need to get off to a fast start, but yeah. that's easier said than done in these games.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to do it. One team generally does. I mean, what can you really do differently to get off to a better start, especially on the road?
I think, man, you got to withstand the storm. I think what I mean by that, man, is you know, every team at home is going to have a few good plays at the beginning because they are home, you know, and the crowd's going to yell for a 4-yard game, you know what I'm saying? So you got to find a way to kind of, you know, weather the storm and play good football afterwards, man.
That's a brand new stadium that they have up there in Minnesota.
Yeah.
What's the locker room set up like that compared to other places? Is it just
Yeah, it was just new. It wasn't anything special.
They're in a broom closet, the visiting team.
And you know, it's my ninth year in the league, man. So I've been everywhere except for Green Bay and Cleveland. So you know,
congratulations on the ladder.
Thank you.
Yeah, nobody wants to go to Cleveland.
Well, not even people from Cleveland.
Not even the away team, huh?
Definitely not the home team. Yeah, you never want to be in the Cleveland home locker room. That's the worst case scenario.
I set you up for that one. You caught that one.
That's a bad look.
No, but I mean, you know, it's a nice stadium. It's beautiful, for sure.
You feel like the cornerbacks. We talked about this. I think the first show we did, the first Q Dem show, we talked about the secondary being sort of a strength of this team.
Yeah.
So far, zero interceptions by Texans cornerbacks this season. Mm-hmm. Last few weeks have been rough on the secondary. You still feel like this is a strength, or is capable of being a strength for this team?
I think you know what. So I was on Twitter, and I got a mention about us being the top secondary in the league as far as, you know, passer rating and yards allowed. So, you know, what does that mean?
Well,
you know that part? You didn't know that part.
I didn't know that part.
Right.
So. I mean, I the first thing that comes to mind is if you look at the list of the quarterbacks you guys have played so far, you probably should be number one. I mean,
No. That didn't matter. Quarterbacks doesn't matter.
Playing Jacoby Brissett, you think that's you don't think your passing yards against is going to be different than if you played Tom Brady?
No, it doesn't matter.
Quinn,
I think,
this is me and you. We're talking real here. You're telling me passing yardage.
This is the NFL.
Okay,
right? It's the NFL. If you don't have to pass, he didn't have to pass.
Yeah.
So who's to say? Who knows? And when he did pass, what was it? Quick.
Yeah.
Quick
nothing
game.
Big.
Right. So who else we play?
Alex Smith, who, okay. I mean, that's pretty much his MO. You play Jay Cutler, who, I mean, he does throw the ball.
Okay, so this is going from last year too, though.
I'm talking about this season.
The rating, though, is from last year and this year.
Oh, it's last year and this year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought we've been the best from... From since the start of 2015?
Yeah.
I thought you meant this season.
Right. So, you know...
That's why I said...
Quarterbacks play a factor. They do.
I thought the secondary was a big strength last year, and I thought
it's
it was...
still a strength.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm asking. Yeah. You still feel like it is?
Oh, no question. Okay. No question. But I think... The quarterback plays a factor, for sure, right?
Yeah.
But when you're playing man-to-man and you're holding any quarterback in this league to below 70 rating, it's huge. I could see if we were playing zone and you were saying that, oh,
right,
we're playing man-to-man almost, yeah, you know, and guys know it. We, you know, it's no secret. And we're still at top. I don't care what quarterback it is in the league. Like, if you're man-to-man, like Sam was doing, what was he doing? Raising up, throwing.
Yeah.
That's hard. You know, that's hard. You got to come tackle. Or it's going to be an 8-yard game.
And while we talk about the quarterbacks, you guys maybe haven't seen the best bunch of quarterbacks this season. You're about to see the best one of the season this week. I mean, this is going to be the best one
great
yet.
Great test for us.
Absolutely.
Great test. And I'm pissed that, you know, I may be hurt.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a good test for us, for sure.
Okay.
But I think we're ready.
I think you should gut it out. Get out there.
I believe in my guys, man. I think we're going to be ready.
I believe in your training staff, too.
Yeah, me too.
I think they need you out there this week.
No question.
No doubt. Listen, tell them, get me out there for this one. If I have to miss Jacksonville down the road, that's okay.
But, yeah, you can't ask me a question about the secondary.
Obviously, you're going to be defensive. I just mean, do you still feel like that this is the strength of the team?
Yeah, I don't matter. It didn't matter the quarterback in this league. I think it matters. It matters what you're playing.
Okay.
If you're playing zone – you know, then, you know, judge us off of that. But if you're playing man, it doesn't matter about the quarterback.
All right.
Yeah, man to man, you got to.
And you guys will be playing man all year?
I don't know.
Okay.
OB voice, I don't
know. I don't know. I can't get to that right now.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, but, so far, we're playing a lot of man, and we have some of the best cover guys in the league because every week could be bad for us. Like, honestly, like, every week could be bad, you know. Quarterback sees man to man, you can throw a 2-yard hitch. You know, it can be 8-9 yards easily.
This is not your side of the ball.
Yeah.
But Will Fuller has been a big impact guy for this team. And three of the games he's been arguably the best player on offense. Two of the games he's been a non-factor at all. Is that part of him being like a home run hitting type receiver? Or is that part of him being a rookie?
I think it's part, you know, more so just being a rookie. Just, you know, learning how the league is about consistency. You know, learning how the league is about, you know, coming out each and every week with the same passion, the same energy, and doing your job, you know, that much better each and every week as you are getting targeted more. You know, teams are seeing you on film, and so they're doubling you. You know, somebody may double you, somebody may, you know, put a safety on top, and so you got to come out each and every week, man, and play good football.
Yeah, speaking of younger players, and you've talked about being a leader back there. Who are some of the guys that come up to you and ask you questions and that look up to you as a leader back there?
You know, Eddie Pleasant, Kevin Johnson, man, Charles James, you know, KJ Dillon, Corey Moore, you know, a lot of guys in the secondary, man. Braxton Miller, he comes to talk to me a lot of times about, you know, different things. You know, Will Fuller, man, just being a young guy, man, you see a guy who's been in the league 9 years, man, you're going to come ask him something. You know, so everybody's asked something, you know, if you've been, you know, if you're 4 years or younger, for sure. But, you know, the guys in the secondary, man, definitely look up to me, man. You know
guys like you who have been in for 9 years, do you still, when you see a guy like Vince Wilfork, do you still go ask him questions sometimes?
Me and Vince were talking the other day on the sideline. I was asking him, man, hey, man, what's up with your routine? Has it been the same ever, you know, just, yeah, you still learning. Still learning, man. Like, J-Jo, too, like, man. Is the routine the same? You know, how can I be better? Like what? You know, how do you tweak things? How do you, you know, when do you keep it the same? When do you tweak it or whatnot? Yeah, I'm still learning, man, for sure.
We didn't get to talk to you. The last time we talked, it was the Monday after you guys played on the Thursday game.
Yeah.
So you had practice on Monday, and JJ didn't practice. And I asked you, I said, JJ didn't practice today. Do you think that's a big deal or just a short week? Turns out it was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
When you guys hear the news, JJ's done. He's out for the season.
Our best player's done for the season.
Does that I mean, what kind of impact does that have on the room? Does that kind of shake you guys for a minute and just be like, damn, that's – I mean, that the defense is built around J.J.
Yes.
Watt.
Defensively, yes. I mean, as a team, yes. Like, it hits you. It's like, damn, our best player is going to be gone for the year, you know.
Well, and then how long is it pouting and feeling sorry for yourselves before it's like, all right, that means everybody else has to step up?
So, it's you know, I wouldn't even say pouting and feeling sorry for yourself. It's just like a, you know, reality sets in.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it takes a day. I think the next day you come in like, look, we got to press on and move forward. You know, that's how we're built as football players. We got to press on and move forward for sure.
Has he been around the facility at all, or is it? I mean, is
yeah.
he? Oh, he has.
No,
been?
No, I hadn't seen him. He's okay. You know, he's getting well. You know, I think he had surgery, so I think he's getting better.
He's at his no frills cabin right now, probably.
How do you know?
I know about his cabin.
He has a cabin.
He's got a no frills cabin.
What
that
does
has,
that mean? What is no frills?
It's got an elevator.
No frills means it has an elevator and three kitchens.
Oh, dang.
But it's no frills, but no there frills. Are three kitchens. I don't know if a third kitchen is a frill where you come from, but where I come from, a third kitchen, that's a frill.
I'm going to call him and see how he's doing, man.
You should. Yeah, you got to check on that guy. See if do you think maybe it was I mean, obviously, you're not a doctor. You don't know.
Yeah.
But do you think maybe coming off the injury that he had, that maybe they should have gone a little bit easier getting him back in there? Because it seemed like with no training camp, the first time we see him is game one, you go for it. You think that's maybe too much?
Yeah, I think with the way he plays the game.
Violently.
And you know, anything to do with the back, the way he plays, I think for sure, man, it's, you know, definitely got to take your time.
Because how important are those, you know, the few weeks of training camp and those preseason games? Not just to get, like, football ready, but to, like, get your body right.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
Used to contact, I mean, and things,
you know,
like that.
Especially for a vet. It's about, you know, getting your bones strong again, getting used to your shoulder pads, getting hit, getting wet, you know, getting bent up, getting pushed, you know, awkwardly, and responding well to that. So that's really important, man. You know, like you said, he didn't have any time in training camp. So I'm sure that played a toll, too.
I looked at it as someone who's fought going into a fight with zero fight camp, like basically taking, you know, normally you take 6-7 weeks before your fight, and you work yourself up to fight shape. You're getting used to getting hit. You're getting used to getting beat up.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
And I mean, to go in there cold just seems very daunting to me. Is just from an athlete's perspective to go out there. I can't imagine the level you guys are at going out there with no warm up, just saying, "All right, let's go."
Yeah, but that's his mindset too. Like he you know.
Do you think it's more of a he wanted to be out there?
I think it's more so of, you know, him wanting to be, you know, out there with us, with his team. You know, you can't be mad at that. You know, he wanted to go to war with us, you know, as best he could, and so you can't be mad at that, man. You got to love him for that. You know, we hate it happened to him like that. You know, we wish he'd be there for us, but you know, it's just part of the game.
Do you think that he was ever right? Like, remember we talked about how there was a couple games where he just wasn't a factor. Do you feel like maybe this whole season was just sort of it wasn't right for him?
I think he came on the Chiefs game, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did go do well against the Chiefs.
Yeah, so I can't say that it wasn't right. I mean, only he knows, you know, how he felt. But according to us, the first game, you know, definitely wasn't, you know, had to get some rust off for sure. But the second game, he came out and looked like J.J. Watt again. And, you know, third game, he, you know, hurt himself. And so it's more so about, man, just how he felt. And I'm sure he didn't feel well the third game.
We'll follow up on that because I want to ask you about returning from injury and when you think you should do it. But first, we got to tell people about Allied.
Yeah, I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. Listen, if you're looking to revitalize your backyard, Allied is the place to start. They can renovate your fading pool deck, your grayed-out patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. Plus, they can help you with outdoor kitchens, patio covers, and more. Carvestone, though, gives you that look of real stone, and that's what you're looking for. But you don't want to tear everything out and pay to put real stone in. That's going to be really cost, you know, ineffective, and it's going to take a lot of time and hassle. That's where Carvestone comes in. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home. It looks great, and it goes down right on top of your existing surface. Allied stands behind Carvestone with a 7-year warranty, and they can help you on residential and commercial projects. Save yourself that hassle and expense. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for way less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway. Check out what they can do for your backyard. Or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. Or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
Take me down.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quinton Demps with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
A.J. Hoffman.
We are back on Q-Damp Show. So, hey, I just want to follow up real quick because you were talking about when J.J. came back, and especially when you those Thursday games, man. Those got to be grueling on you guys.
Those are hard.
Yeah.
Especially for the team that travels. The team that travels, man, has it really, you know, it has more of a challenge than the team that's at home, for sure.
Talk to me about how you're dealing with an injury now.
Yeah.
In your mind, I mean, knowing you want to get back on the field, especially for an important game, what percentage in your head, if you know you can't get it hurt, are you going to get out there and play? If you're 95%, are you on the field?
If I'm 85, I'm on the field.
Okay.
For sure. Because, like, nobody in this league is 100% at this point. What's week six? No, nobody's 100%, for sure. If you are, then you're not playing hard enough. I mean, like, you know, nobody's 100%.
Where do you look at it and say, you know what, man, I'm hurting the team here.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody else needs to get out here.
And that's what it's about. It's about being a pro at that point, man, and just knowing that, hey, man, I can't perform well right now. I'm going to hurt the team and myself as far as when we watch film on Monday, you're going to see, you know, and that's what happened to me on you know, I don't want to bring up old stuff, but the Patriots game, I played hurt. I came back and played hurt, and I didn't play well, you know, and so now looking back, I would have just got out.
You would have been better off on the sideline that
game? Yeah, I would have been better off on the sideline for sure.
I mean, when you know, where he was talking about a percentage. Like, do you have a gauge where it's like I'm good enough to be out there?
Yeah,
or
it depends on the position and what muscle, right? So if I'm a secondary guy and my hamstring hurt, like I hurt in New England, my hamstring was hurt. You gotta get out, right? If I hurt my shoulder, that's different, you know. But I hurt my hamstring, one of my wheels, you know. And I'm a fast guy, you know. I gotta get out, you know. If I'm a lineman and I hurt my hamstring, you gotta fight through. You gotta press through, right? You don't need it that much. And so it just depends. I mean, seriously, you're not sprinting 40 yards every play.
Right. You had Dwayne Brown,
right?
Dress out there with that hurt leg.
And so it just depends on your position and what muscle you hurt or what, you know, what ligament you hurt.
Your calf injury. Do you feel like maybe it's somehow related to the hamstring injury from before, or is this something totally new?
Yeah, I think it's something totally new. I think just some one of those things that happened.
Did you take a bad step, or what? Did you feel when it happened?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I felt it for sure. I definitely felt it in. You know, I was smart, but not trying to play.
Do you, when you know, and obviously, I think it's too early to know if you're going to play or not this week.
Yeah.
But once they tell you if you're going to play or not, do you sort of shift into being a veteran, like shift into a coach mode?
Oh, no question. Especially knowing my backup's probably going to be a young guy. So
yeah.
I definitely go into coach mode and you know, give him tips to, you know, study, tips to you know, for that week for sure.
But you don't want it to be too good, right? Because then they'll take your job.
Yeah, well, to me, it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. You're okay with that?
You're not going to take my job.
Okay.
For sure and foremost. I mean, that's just my mindset. I didn't mean to be, like, cocky on
that's all right. It's allowed.
Like
this whole show, this is
but
what
I'm
going
to give
them
all
cocky.
I got because I'm all about winning. I don't give a damn about all that other stuff.
And that kind of gets back to what we were talking about when you're mentoring guys. I mean, you're trying to help them get better. So they can get your job. I mean, they want your job, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. That's true at some point. Like, you know, you're right. But if it comes back if you're a team guy or if you, you know, all about yourself. And I'm a team guy. I want us to win. I want to be on the field, too. I don't want anybody taking my job, you know. But I want us to win before somebody takes my job.
That's probably why teams keep picking you up, man. That attitude, though. El Jefe wants to know which show you like doing better, The Blitz or Unfiltered.
I like The Blitz.
That's right.
See?
Yeah, I like The Blitz. No question.
That's right.
Hands down. The atmosphere is, you know, it's live in here.
Plus, we'll whoop those dudes' asses if it came down to
AJ,
it.
AJ, Fred, man, you guys are A1 to me. You know, you guys are solid. So.
Hey, thanks, man. We like you, too. What are you drinking?
Just water.
Just sipping on it. Just water. Good water.
Yeah, water.
Yeah, it looks like
cranberry
good juice.
Yeah. I was wondering why you liked it so much. It's with the water. Something in the water out here. Now, the Colts, I mean, obviously every division game is important.
Right.
In my mind, at the beginning of the season, this division was either you guys or the Colts. Yeah. And Tennessee's played pretty well. I should give them some credit. They're not total dogs. Yeah. But knowing that if you lose this game, then they're suddenly in first place. Does that kind of – do you feel like the pressure, that lead that you guys had is kind of – could be banished? Is there pressure there?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, but we don't look at it like that. You know, we see it as the Colts coming to our place first and foremost, man. Any team coming to our place, we got to win. And, you know, that being a division game makes it more – that much more important. And so that's how we see it. That's how I view it, man. It's a division game. Division opponent, man, and these are most wins. I mean, every win is important. Every team is important, but the division game is a little bit more important for sure.
It's almost like a win and a half or a loss and a half
exactly.
against a team like this.
Exactly, man. So we definitely got to win these games, especially against the Colts. You know, like you said, man, it could be us or the Colts, or it could be Jacksonville too. Jacksonville is pretty good too.
Nah, Jacksonville sucks.
You think so?
Yeah.
You know,
I think they're poorly coached.
Well, I guess preseason hype makes them.
Preseason hype was crazy on them, but I just think they're poorly coached.
And I haven't watched too much tape.
They're a mess. They're a total mess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are going to – you guys could play like you played yesterday, and you'll beat that team by 14 points. Yeah,
okay.
They're bad.
Well, we know the Colts aren't that bad.
The Colts aren't that bad. The Colts aren't great, but they're not that bad.
Right, so we have to make sure we win these games.
Yeah. I mean, these are the types of games that – if you're going to be a playoff team, these are the types of games you got to win, right?
At home, for sure.
Yeah.
You have to.
All right. Well.
It's a pleasure as always, my man.
Yeah, man. Thank you, guys.
It goes by too fast, man.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I got so much more to say.
It's all right. We'll be back.
Yeah. We'll do it.
We'll be back.
We'll visit that next week.
I think we don't have you next week.
Yeah,
you're with that B-Squad next week.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sean. Sean, I love you, man.
You're running with the twos next week.
Yeah.
It's because you're hurt. You'll be back in the
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
Get healthy. You can come back with us in two weeks, man.
Fair enough, man.
All right. That's going to wrap it up out here from Saltgrass. I want to thank Saltgrass for having us out here as always, man. This place is fantastic. Great job by Quentin. Great job by John Lee. Great job, A.J. Hoffman. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Stay sportsy.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.